Mine. Mine's. That weird Weasley guy. You got a super sinister one. Like a...
But then there's also like you could go the opposite end of the, like, instead of the low, like you can get like the
the insane, like, yeah, like Joker, Joker,
the crazy, right? Joker clown, like down the hallway.
Now, oh god, all right, we got to start because speaking of Joker, there's some
here we go
stuff.
Joker.
What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And I'm Rich.
And we want to thank you out there for listening and following us on all social media at Life's a Binge, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, all the goods at Life's a Binge, and 619-438-0532 if you want to leave a voicemail. Be part of our phone army.
Yeah, call.
Yes.
And lifesabinge@gmail.com if you want to send an email.
Yeah, right.
The email.
But yeah, Facebook, Instagram, that's the best way to get a hold of us. And Twitter. I've been tweeting a lot from my own Twitter lately.
Really?
Yeah.
So you think you're getting good at it?
What you tweeting about?
I wouldn't
about?
Say I'm getting good at it, but like I'm a lot better at just responding to other people's tweets.
Okay. That's I've like, been a little bit and busy then, on
and
it a little
they,
bit.
And then they reply back.
Isn't that like 70% about being on Twitter anyway?
Is it?
Right.
Is it?
Responding to other people.
Do you tweet?
No.
So none of us are good tweeters.
That's what I guess you got to take baby steps somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'll start by.
I have one. I just don't.
Replying to other people.
Yeah. I've started tweeting by like the drive time right wing radio hosts on the radio.
Oh. Okay.
tweet to them.
Tweet
right.
at them.
Yeah.
Do they
like,
ever respond?
At Rush Limbaugh. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, is that all?
You never get. I never
sit on it.
Can I
rotate,
get
right.
I'm sitting there like. What did he see it? I wonder if he saw it.
Right.
So
oh, he did, and he's mad.
Yeah. I showed him.
Good,
I told him.
Good
what's
times.
Up.
But let's go ahead and get started. Let's take a breath.
Life's a binge. Bow, 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 bow,
bow. Right? What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
My, that sounds like my my evil laugh that I was trying to do too. That little
the was
during that no during that the yeah. But that was just something. I don't know what that was from.
Yeah, that just, was just no, that's just us
when
doing
we were talking. And, yeah.
And we thought it was hilarious.
It was,
but yeah. It wasn't quite the breathy, the super breathy, like
the deep throaty.
Well, that, yours is.
That's not the way I meant that to sound.
Deep throaty.
That's not what
How
I meant.
How would you describe that person? Deep throaty.
Deep throaty. Yeah.
One of my favorite things at Sea Lion was when we were doing the Halloween show, and it would be like, and then we travel back in time, and then there'd be like a sound effect of like, like the lightning crash and like thunder, whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And like they would turn up the reverb on my mic, and I would go.
Oh yeah,
and it like sounded so great
that
in the
does
stadium.
Sound like fun.
And you did it live every time.
Oh yeah,
did it live.
There you go. Dang it.
We need to. We're gonna get that one in there. Oh, when we get the new fancy.
I didn't get that one.
You know.
You know what I did. Wait. I failed.
Yes! Oh, that's Price is Right.
Yeah.
Oh. I love that sound.
Trevor, no.
Oh.
Don't do it.
When he falls, you can play that sound.
I know. He's going to like jump and like
don't
ruin all
down,
her
though.
Cake pans.
Well, it's funny because I was just noticing that there wasn't as much for him to crawl to climb on.
Well, we're getting trying to get organized.
Yeah, that's good, man.
Little stuff here and there.
I feel like
it's much more put together. Nice
but Trevor really wants to jump on those expensive cake pans. Let's not do that. Trevor? Good boy.
Oh, good dog.
But it was just so fun to like.
That's cool.
And like hear it echo and reverb off the whole stadium. So
that sound is great.
I might have thought that was a like a, you know, on the board thing when they just pushed a button for it.
If you can't do it live,
but you did it live.
That's right.
You did it Riley style,
swinging his dick.
Come down to the beach. Live. Can't do it. You know, maybe you phone it in. But true, I do it live.
What's up with you, BJ?
Yeah.
Did we do? We do. We just went straight into what's up. That's right. But I got distracted by what? By something.
Something.
By evil laughter.
We had our best band gig of the of our
your ever? Career.
BJ and Biz. BJ and the Biz career. Yeah.
Nice. Really? Why was it the best?
It was just It was by far just the fruits of playing together, because we don't practice hardly ever.
Sure.
But after, you know, several months of playing together live. We just had a good, and I, what I did this time is like, I'm going to do this a lot more. I made an entire list of songs that I want to play. Mm-hmm. Like I want to play this song.
I believe that's called a playlist.
Yeah. It's
or
true.
A set list.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah, people do it all the time.
Set list
in the biz.
Set list is what I was going for.
People do that all the time.
Damn it.
But, you know, for,
are you saying you failed, Jared?
I would never.
What was the other sound like? You were telling about like
when we were talking about failure sounds.
Yeah,
last
it was that
time.
One, and that was something
that we're like.
Yeah,
I wonder if that's one.
Yeah,
but anyway, what was I saying?
Your best gig, and how you want to make a
after
set
playing
list.
Together.
Yeah, so because we've gotten used to being very spontaneous and like that being our thing. All right, what do we want to play? You come in and you get to steer the ship, and now I'm thinking, fuck that. I'm thinking, I don't want to get. I don't want to because we.
Well, there should be like create your playlist, but then like and then insert one part, like a request song
request,
here.
Yeah, request.
Yeah, there should be room for.
But once you get rolling on it, it gets out. It always gets crazy, and people are like Black Sabbath, play some Black Sabbath. Yeah, and then it's just back and forth, and then you're just shouting at everybody. Yeah. Shut up! No, all right. Here we go. You know, and so
that's when you just say
it's all fun.
Like,
but
the next song on your list is like Imagine, and you're like, anybody want to hear anything? And they're like, right. Freebird, Black Sabbath, Metallica, Imagine. I heard Imagine. Great.
Right. Yeah,
right. I do want to kind of be a little bit more decisive in how these shows happen.
Yeah.
You know, I need to make more money, man.
That's right.
This gig at the zoo was great, and they had a meeting, and everyone spoke highly of me, which was really nice.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice to hear that come back to me.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah. So, and we got a gig already. You know, we have a gig. We get hired at this place. So as long as we're getting hired to play, you know, we may as well do it as well as we can.
Hell yeah, man.
And so we just killed every song that we played, you know, for most of it.
And the crowd was way into it and all
crowd,
that.
Yeah, and the crowd was like, they were like, no way. Yeah, for a lot of stuff. So, yeah, good night, and I hope we like to build on that. So we'll do it again on Friday.
Nice. Awesome. Good time.
Yeah, that's the main thing that's up with me, though.
I went to Oktoberfest.
Here in
La
town?
Mesa Oktoberfest?
In La Mesa.
I love the La Mesa Oktoberfest.
It was cool.
I haven't been there in a long
time. It was
time.
Way busy.
Did you run? Did you see people you know?
No, I did not, which is weird, because I usually see people I know everywhere I go.
It's cool.
But no, I didn't see a person. We didn't go in the beer garden because the line was out of control busy. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just nuts. It was crazy busy. We went there at 6:30, I guess.
It's been super popular for a long time.
Yeah,
people like beer.
It's true.
You like beer?
Because
I like beer. People like beer. Sorry.
All we asked was if you drink.
I like beer. Good times.
So did you get to drink beer?
Yeah, did you have any?
I did not have a beer.
You went to Oktoberfest, you didn't drink any beer?
I couldn't get in the beer garden. I mean, I could have, but the line was ridiculous.
Did you at least eat, like, bratwurst?
Nope. That line was ridiculously long, too. But we went into this, because it's in downtown La Mesa. There's all these tiny little, like, hole-in-the-wall.
They went and got some tacos.
Restaurants and stuff. We had burgers.
Right on.
Yeah.
Dude, close enough.
That's cool.
Not really, but you had a good time.
And you're going out. It's nice.
Yeah, we were out and about, and we got to walk through the little booths, which Samantha really likes to do, and look at all the arts and crafts and stuff. And
that's just like downtown Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a charming little area. Oh, yeah. Like, it's charming. Is it?
But I've never seen you use that word.
Charming?
He looks so happy about it.
It's charming.
That was charming.
It's cute. Charming. Yeah, it's just like a yeah. place. Because, you know, sometimes I do get all big city, and I'm like,
it's quite lovely.
These suburban communities, they don't have shit.
But I love the little different communities.
That's yeah, why I mean, even it. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. Santee. And
well, that's why I like La Mesa, Santee, La Mesa, and yeah. South Park, and North Park, and, like, yes. all the little,
yeah.
like, kind of, I guess Santee's villages. Getting pretty big. But,
little villages.
But yeah. La Mesa's still pretty old school.
Yeah. yeah. Well, Santee's where people can, like, afford to live right now, too.
Right.
So if you want to buy a house, sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah, what's it's east probably getting, in I'm Santee. Sure it's getting
what's
more.
East of Santee?
Lakeside.
East is Lakeside. Lakeside?
Yeah.
So...
And the northeast is like
that's
Ramona.
Like a full hour out of town.
Lakeside?
Yeah,
no, it's not that far.
Lakeside.
So you could
right
live
there.
And commute in Lakeside still?
Absolutely. That's yeah, where I could. Lived before.
Yeah.
Mm. We were technically in Lakeside.
There huh. you go.
And I came to your house once a week.
Now, so Samantha's mom lives in Lakeside?
Technically, it's Lakeside.
Technically.
Like her house is Lakeside, and the other side of the street is Santee.
Oh, Santee. Yeah. Okay. Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. What's up with you, Rich?
I had a busy week. I had to shoot. Every day. I'm exhausted. It was good though. Like I did like a conference where one of the companies at this conference bought headshots for the entire conference.
Nice.
So we had like a little setup where you could just walk up and like get your headshot. So I did headshots for like 150 people this week.
Woof.
Woof.
That's exactly. A lot of it was headshots. A lot.
But it was cool because then right after that I had another event where it was like much smaller where there was like, you know, 20 people who wanted headshots and I was like, I'm like totally in the
yeah,
zone.
Let's
you
do
guys
it.
Get me at a good time. I am in the freaking zone.
Now, so these are all performers or actors? Or?
No, it's all business people. All
so
business.
Is that a thing? They get business headshots
well, yeah.
for your
think
LinkedIn,
about,
baby.
Or I guess oh, so. Not only that, but yeah. like think about like a realtor,
press release, press, or yeah, like
yeah.
a realtor,
bench ad or something.
And they wanted to use that
realtors,
for their face.
Lawyers, like
yeah.
all
for social
kinds
media
of.
Too, probably.
So if you're in business media. And you need a headshot, call me. Because I did a lot of them this week. And then
you
I had
can
a
reach
wedding.
Him at 619-438.
He likes to
I
hear
mean,
about
you
your
can. Yeah. Talk to yeah. me about your favorite TV shows and movies.
Yeah,
I will happily respond about that.
And I got $1 million gig for you. Show up at beep, beep.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I was so into the wire.
So, and then last night we did a wedding up at a house in Rancho Santa Fe. It was very fancy. But it was this guy... I won't say his name. I won't talk about him because he's like a prominent business developer. Mm-hmm. But he had a closet that most, if you're a man who's like into looking good at all.
Oh, yeah.
Like you'd be like, what is this place? Like it's
Prince
wall to wall,
proud.
Like yeah. suits and like
and shoes
a
and
plate
ties.
Of cologne and like just a drawer just for watches and like ties and shoes and like an island in the middle to like lay out your outfit. And wow. you know, like an Anchorman, when it's like, I have many books and it smells of rich mahogany. It actually smelled of rich mahogany. Like, this place is insane. Like, it was awesome. So it was cool.
That is
it was a week
awesome.
Of cool gigs. So
nice.
I'm in a good, I got good energy right now.
Nice. That's good.
Well, yeah. sweet.
How about yeah. you, man?
That was Oktoberfest.
Yeah,
about
Oktoberfest.
It. I don't think anything else
without
went
without any beer.
Nothing else? No?
No.
Good on that?
That's what's up. What's up.
That what up?
Yep. This just in.
Oh God!
Miss the rest of the show.
Nothing happened. Probably. You're probably right.
Well, you know. You know, we do have a.
nothing happened.
Nothing of consequence.
They brought happens. It was like hours and hours and hours.
It was, it was
something happened.
Now
yeah.
you know, I,
something happened.
You know me. You know, I'm a political junkie, not junkie. But
BJ's obsessed with politics.
I wouldn't say obsessed.
That was an ironic spoiler alert. There for all you
I'll say it. Yeah.
I don't know.
You follow.
You plug
like,
in.
Yeah, I do like
you
to follow,
and
I like to stay in touch with what's happening.
You're opinionated, and you.
Yes.
Don't pick fights, but you argue.
You have a strong
maybe so.
Sense of
yeah.
maybe so
where you are.
So
on
good.
The spectrum.
Well, you know what's good is I want is you guys good have a good perspective for me because you're not me. You know you're not me, but you see me,
right?
And
you
so,
see me.
So
yeah, you're not John Cena. I can see you.
Right.
So it's fun. It's funny because first of all, yeah, I watched.
The whole thing?
Most of it.
So
that's impressive.
We're talking about obviously the Kavanaugh hearing.
Yeah. If you didn't pick up on that,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Kavanaugh
in the news.
He's furious about it.
Yeah.
He doesn't like
beer. Frank likes beer.
So you don't like
beer. Why does anybody vote Republican if you're not wealthy? I don't get it.
I agree with you, Frank.
So, man. What's cool about it, like a lot of things, it's one of those things where that almost everybody is kind of tuned into it. So it's just one of those things, too, especially.
Just the way it should be all the time.
I agree.
You should be tuned in.
I agree.
One of the positive, I guess it's not even a positive, but like one of the positive things that people are trying to put out there now is like, this isn't a partisan problem. This is a bigger problem than Republican Democrat.
Yes.
But it's unfortunate that it's coming out and coming to light over such a big political thing.
Yes.
Which is very unfortunate for the other message where it's not about politics. It's so about politics right now.
I have a very interesting, I think, analogy that just kind of came to me as you were saying that. And yeah. I was kind of realizing that. The OJ trial, and we did a episode, maybe two episodes, about
the show
OJ, and we talked a lot about OJ.
And
what was so fascinating about that trial and that moment of history was that there were a lot of different things being addressed at that time.
It wasn't just a murder trial.
It wasn't just a murder trial.
I mean, it was, but
I mean, and yes, just
it
yes,
was, it
but
was not.
But it had, yeah,
the, it was
yeah.
very racially was a charged
cultural moment.
It was. It was super sure. cultural moment. Yeah. That was a real precursor to today in a lot of ways. In that, how you viewed what was going on,
right.
With it. You could pretty much how you saw it was how you felt about things and that was like more like the line was racial for sure in that case,
right?
Oh, yeah. So if you identified in the black experience, it was a lot easier for you to see OJ as innocent. As the years have gone by, that's changed.
Yeah, we're like,
for sure.
No.
for sure.
There's a lot of DNA here.
About that.
Yeah, it's changed. But at the time, you know, pretty much it was like, you know, it was black and white, you know, and I was kind of somewhere like, I was like in the middle, kind of fascinated by the whole thing.
Like, and it was very much like you're on one team or you're on the other team, and that the outcome of this decides which team wins.
In the OJ trial?
Yeah. In the OJ trial. Well, yeah. I was talking about that, but I might as well be talking about what's happening right now, too,
because
people feel the same way.
Yeah. So,
Jared's already exhausted.
It's so upsetting.
It is so upsetting. The whole thing is super, super upsetting in so many ways. And so, yeah. So anyway, you had financial, kind of a, in the justice system, the advantage of the wealthy,
right.
In that OJ trial,
yeah.
You know, that he was able to afford the kind of justice that
the best of the best. Innocence.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so the fault in that, a lot of it was there was racism in the trial for the main witness,
yeah.
You know, who swore he didn't, but there was a tape of him,
saying it.
And you know, there was so much of that went into the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, Johnny Cochran was brilliant. You know, he puts that in your, he has that, puts it in your head, and now your entire view of the whole thing is tainted.
Chewbacca is a Wookiee.
Yes.
Who lives on Endor? It doesn't make sense.
That's, God, it makes me think how great.
Was that the first, like, very much, it's televised and everyone's plugged into it?
It's the first one I know of in my lifetime.
In my lifetime, too.
That I was in seventh grade.
I was in middle school.
Sixth or seventh grade.
96,
like
right? Was when the trial ended?
Mid 90s.
Yeah. I'd say 96 is when it ended, I think.
Yeah.
I just remember being in middle school and they paused.
Like, we watched it in school.
Yeah,
did you watch it in school?
Yeah.
Really? Really?
They paused school because they were like, well, and the jury's in, and let's find out the verdict.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
And I was in school.
That's awesome.
Yep, me too.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I don't remember any trials in my life, like, before that.
Right.
And apparently there was one in the 60s, like, the dude who the fugitive is about, I think.
Huh.
Really? Had a televised trial, I think. I don't know. Something like that. Huh. I shouldn't. I don't even.
That was based on a real thing.
Yeah.
Did he legit like get did he break out? Like, is that a real thing?
Is there a crazy train crash?
Or was it just based on him and the fact that
he jumped off a giant waterfall? Like, should we pursue this really right
now? I mean, I'm kind of curious. You know.
I want to know. Yeah,
because yeah, I mean, maybe it's just based on the fact that he was a doctor and he like killed, like got
well, Siri's not know,
killed guilty or whatever.
Well, Siri, okay.
Yeah, just type it in.
She'll Google it for you.
Was The Fugitive based on a true story?
Well, you said that it was, but how true?
Like, exactly true.
Not so fast.
Not so fast?
It has been long said that the true story behind The Fugitive, the Harrison Ford action classic that turns 25, is loosely based on the 50s murder case, conviction, and acquittal of Sam Shepard. But, okay, so let me click on this and see. similarities end here.
Pregnant wife. Woof.
Shepard's story was a widely publicized trial, something the Supreme Court labeled a carnival atmosphere, and the media was accused of swaying the public opinion on the case, resulting in Shepard's conviction.
Well, that doesn't sound familiar.
Prison for, right. This is in the 50s. He was in prison for 10 years before acquitted at retrial.
Wow.
God, you know, that makes me want to think about, like, Sacco and Vanzetti, too. Like, I remember hearing about that and doing a thing in school. Did you guys do that? Like the trials where you had
like
to
mock trials and stuff
for Sacco and Vanzetti?
High school, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
crazy, crazy times. I don't remember what brought the tangent up, but.
Whether or not that was based on a true story.
But this stuff is going. This because we were like OJ and like we got way tangent on it.
Right.
But this whole deal is nutsoid.
Yeah. And everybody's paying attention and everyone. Is talking about it.
Well, and so, okay.
That's the thing, too. I can't even imagine. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Dive in.
I can't even imagine if social media was around during the OJ trial.
Oh, my God.
Like, I can't even imagine. Like,
that would have broken the internet.
Yeah.
Well, and I wonder, I wonder if we've escalated sort of the divide, you know, because of that.
Absolutely. Because you have access not just to your like echo chamber and people who agree with you, but you have so much access to so many people who disagree with
Don't agree with you, right.
And you see that,
but
it just makes you more angry.
You do have to search that out a lot more, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
totally. Or just say something and then
unless
they'll
you
find
read,
you.
Like, the comments section on, I don't know, any news article.
Right.
Because like, the only people who comment on articles on the internet want a fight.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they do. Like, no one's going in there to be reasonable.
And generally, like, I only kind of respond generally when it's like, I see something that, like, you're an asshole.
Like, I can't not respond to
yeah, like, let me tell you something. And I'm trying to, like, step back on that.
Like,
so
70% of the time I'll type something out and then I'll read it and I'm like, do I really have to send this?
Yes. See, that, I do the same thing where I type it out and then I'm like, yep, I'm sending it. And then I send it and then I don't. And then I'm like, I'm done. I said my thing,
right.
And this is not an argument. I'm just countering your thing, and then you're going to come back and spew a bunch of other BS at me, but I'm not going to get involved. I just want to be like, whoa. This is incorrect because of this and this and that, and there we go, period. The end, and I'm done.
I'm only interested in, like I'm not interested in how – this isn't totally – well, I'll say it, not unequivocally, but I'm not totally interested in how people feel about it. I'm interested in the facts of the situation.
Right, absolutely.
And the fact, and people are like, well, he's not getting due process. I'm like, yo, this isn't a trial, like a court trial.
Right.
This is a fancy job interview.
Yep.
So if they think he's an asshole, that disqualifies him from the job. Plain and simple.
Basically.
Like, they're trying to put him in
like
jail.
One.
Yeah. Or if you can't keep a cool head for an hour.
Yeah. They're trying to put him in jail. I understand. But like, he's up there just like, fired, brimstone, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you want this person? Like,
yeah, that was,
you're supposed to,
that was ridiculous.
Hey, you're supposed to be impartial. Oh, right. My bad.
Oh.
Dude.
And he wants to wield supreme judicial power? Like, it's in the name, Supreme. Like,
okay.
You can't give God. You can't give a guy like that kind of power.
So there really is two things with this. There's the political side of things where it's like, we don't like
Democrat,
this guy.
Democrat, Republican, and the gamesmanship
involved in the whole process.
The
nomination, and like, we don't like him because of his policies, and this, and we don't want him as the judge for this.
Right.
And then there's the other side, which is the abuse side. Yes. And it's, I don't know enough to speak on it, but I don't know how they are connected. I mean, I know they're connected because they're like, we don't want this guy to be the judge because of his shady past.
Right.
But like, how does that make its way into the process of selecting? You know what I mean?
So you mean the topic of abuse?
I can kind of answer
right,
that.
Right. Because like there's other like Trump. There's people that have said things about Trump, yeah. But literally nothing has come of it because, like, I guess that would have to be a criminal trial, or maybe the statute of limitations is up on that stuff, or yeah. I don't know. But, like, how is it that the two are connected?
I think the important thing is what does this say about your character? And it's this is true and all you've done is deny, it's like, all right, so you're a liar.
Sure.
Like, should you wield supreme judicial power? If you're a liar.
If you're a dishonest person.
And the answer is no.
Sure. But yeah, then,
and completely slanted.
No. Sure. But then to... Obviously, this is a devil's advocate statement.
Sure.
Obviously.
Sure.
But then is it not part of the quote-unquote smear campaign to bring that into something that has technically nothing to do with it? Because, I don't want that to sound... You know what I'm saying, right?
Well,
like, the big political side is like, you guys are just trying to ruin this guy's good name and this and that and this and that. And like, that's the big defense for like him, the politics side.
I think it's, we're trying to find out if the name is good or not.
Well, see, that's where I was like, isn't that the whole point of what's happening right now?
That's the whole point of this. Like, we want to find out if you're good or not.
Right.
I think it's naive to say there's not like gamesmanship happening. Right. You know, in the process.
And yes, on both sides.
Yeah.
Like that's the one time where this does apply.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's gamesmanship.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the conservatives are up in arms because Dianne Feinstein had this information. You know,
right.
Weeks
right.
ago,
and waited on
and
it.
And waited on it.
Except when she explains it, I'm like, "That's a fine reason." She says, "Well, she did not want to go public with it, and I was not about to
make her go public with it."
Yeah, I'm not about to go against her wishes and go public with it.
But you know, the people on the other side just hand wave away. It's like, "Ah, it's not. That's not an excuse."
Well, and
that's
probably
that's
what
true.
Happened. I'm guessing
because they can't prove that. She can't prove that.
I'm guessing that like Dianne Feinstein and that they knew they're sitting on that information.
Yeah.
They knew it. She shared it with somebody, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And they had someone leak the information in order to, so then it had to be acted upon.
Right.
And now whether or not they might've actually like said that to her or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is admitting a lot more than, most, I don't know, the right wing would want to hear, you know, that it's that I do agree and see that it's possible and likely
right. sure.
that there were these kind of things happening.
Absolutely.
It wasn't like
you'd have to be
the Democrats are
well. The other thing,
the Illuminati.
Well yeah. the other saying where I'm like, yeah, I get what you guys are saying on your side was like some of these questions that the way that the Democrats were asking and receiving answers to questions.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing? Like, you are just making just as big of a stinking scene as he is by asking your
question.
Right.
Which I hate.
Just
and that's every
single... what's his name? Booker? Was his
Cory
name
Booker?
Cory Booker. Good Lord. When he was like, are you saying that you didn't drink in high school? And like, he just... I forget what his question was. But it was like, he just kept asking...
You didn't drink during the day.
Week. So you're saying you drink during the week? Because like, at one point he said he had a beer at lunch or something. And he's like, wait a second. So you had a beer at lunch? Does that mean you drink during the day?
So we've established that you're a liar.
Right.
And
it's like, I was like, hold on.
Yeah.
Like, because he said he had a beer at lunch
yeah.
does not mean... Like, what you're
he's
trying to do
right.
by say, yes or no question, do you drink during the day?
Yeah.
Well... Yes, if it's yes. Okay, so you drink during the day. Great, we have that established. It's like, come on, guys.
Right.
Like, that's a bit much.
But they'll never say yes or no. They'll never say yes or no.
Well, there's never a yes or no. And that is the most infuriating thing to me.
And they just don't even, like, sometimes even address the question. And this
you're
is what was
a clear yes or no question.
This
and
is
you
what
can't
was, like,
even start your answer with yes or no. Like,
right.
if you want to expand, that's fine. I think there needs to be a rule that says if you're asked a yes or no question in any kind of hearing, whether it's like a judiciary committee or it's actually on the Senate, whether you're running for this, that, or whatever, you have to at least start your answer
with a yes
with
or
a
no.
Yes
but
or
if
no.
the question is,
and you should
do
always...
you drink during the day? Yes, you say yes, but I have a beer and then at you can lunch expand or so. Upon
that.
Right.
Yeah, and that's and I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Have you stopped beating your wife yet?
Well, I don't think that that's irrelevant to this question because it got I'm on their side and I'm like
it is a shit show.
I was like, what are you doing? You guys are you like yeah. every time that the Republicans are like these Democrats are like losing their minds. And I'm like, yeah, they are. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
All they had to do was let him talk, honestly. And
like, it was, what are you doing? Trying to narrow it down so far to like the point of like, do you drink during the day? And he's like, well, yes is the answer to your yes or no question. And he's like, great, thanks. Moving on. We have now established that you drink during the day. Yeah. Moving on. And he's like, well, how about you let me? Nope. I only have 5 minutes, so we're moving to the next question.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like that you got. That's the reason that the Republicans are right in what they're saying because it that was so obnoxious to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys are ruining it. Like,
now on their side,
and that's what BJ's going back to the gamesmanship. Like,
right.
They all do that.
Oh, like, right, of course.
Whenever they're questioning their guy or they're questioning their guys, like they do it a certain way.
Yeah, especially if it's televised, right. You know. And every time there's like these Benghazi hearings or anything like that, some of it I was kind of enjoying. Like I watched some of the Kavanaugh stuff earlier too, and that was kind of it goes on and on. But but some of the elected officials who come up, they give a full on speech. An introduction to themselves, to the country,
why they're there and what they're doing, and before they even start to address what we're actually here to talk about,
and like some of them,
and they get like an opening statement, like and they just talk, and then they start the questioning,
right?
But they all like take this moment to like
to brainstorm,
I'm
going to be running for office, so I want everyone to know what I sound like and look like on TV,
right. and that's always happening, like no matter what. If there's something, if you are at all interested in higher office, you are going to be playing up to that. You have media person, you know, and that's, you know, and that's the attraction of our president.
That's why when you're playing The Sims and you have to give a speech, you stand in front of the mirror for a day and a half.
Yeah. Practice.
Is that what happens in The Sims?
Yeah. Practice. You have to practice.
That's stupid. Really funny.
What really makes me kind of nuts about all of this is that there's the... There's two things. There's two things that really get to me about this. And one of them is you shouldn't punish someone based upon something that happened really long ago. I'm like, if it was really shitty, you should.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Yes, you should.
If it's real bad. If it was stealing a pair of sunglasses from Rite Aid when you're 12,
you know, was
like, that's one thing.
And then,
because that's not so bad. Is it, guys?
If we were in a reality TV show, which we basically are, you could smash cut to the Brock Turner trial. We shouldn't ruin his future. Wait, so what is it? Should you not be judged on your past, or should your future not be ruined?
Right.
And at which point do these people pay for the things that they do?
Never.
I think is the answer.
Well, and it's
and the other thing. I'm sorry. I'm grandstanding.
Go.
Is like there are these people who want to discredit Dr. Ford, which we've gone on way too long without mentioning her name. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like what does she gain from doing this?
Right.
You know, like if she let's entertain your wild conspiracy theories. If this is all made up and she's just a plant and blah, 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 what could she possibly gain?
He doesn't sit. That's it.
But then
personally,
her life is over. Her life's not over, but like she's in the news for this forever.
And she does it.
And there will always be people who hate her for it.
For sure.
Like she gets nothing personally for it.
Right.
Like I don't. Like what?
So do you guys?
So I don't know how people make that leap in their mind. Like, well, she's just a plant. She's getting paid or whatever. She's doing this,
right?
Yeah.
Like, is that worth your public life though? Like,
well, yeah. And then it's like, so.
But they don't. Nobody thinks that way. They're like, oh, this is a political game, and she's just another pawn. Yeah,
she's
and
a real person.
Like, if you're going to continue, down that line of thinking, then you'll have to like think that they started it in 2002. You know, by like we're going to tell you, you know, hey, we have a plot.
This is the revenge of the Clintons.
Yeah.
Did you see the meme that was like? Like, it was Hillary sitting there with, like, her hand on her, like, her, no. her chin in her hand. And it was like, you know, remains calm for 4 hours during interrogation or whatever. Yeah. And then it's like 20 seconds in and it's like Kavanaugh's face. Yeah. It was just funny.
That was a good meme.
It was just
that
funny.
That
was a good
meme. That was a spicy
who says,
meme. Yeah,
who says women can't handle pressure?
The other one I saw, it wasn't really a meme. It was just a photo from it. But it was his face. And then, like, if you look at every woman sitting behind him, they're all making a face like,
ugh.
Yeah. Like, I took screenshots.
Every single one, like even his wife, they're all like, yeah. Ugh.
I took screenshot of it so I could like capture the things. And so I have like those pictures because I was like, look at these faces.
Yeah.
They all look like, I got to look at them now.
You should post them to Instagram, Hot Life's a Binge at Instagram.
Yes.
I was going to post some of these ladies' faces.
Yes.
Yeah, it just, and do you think that with Me Too, with this very, very public hearing and all this stuff, do you think anything's going to come of it? Like, for the good?
What do you mean? From the Me Too or from this?
Both. Like bringing more light to the fact that abuse is running rampant. Just, you know, just like racism, it's still running rampant and just, it's all like swept under the rug. Like no one could see it. Mm. It's not in the public image.
Like, but will then, there be significant social
like,
change?
Do you think it's something's going to change? Right.
No.
Well, I'm not so, I could see that. I would
like that.
I could see something coming out of it. Good. But, you know, we have a long way to go as far as like, utilizing what we have as a society to bring us together as opposed to like drive us apart because it's right in front of us.
Right.
The exact same tools we used to cleave off huge hunks of people, right. You know, it's the same, the same things are right there to bring people together. It's a little slower and longer process, but it's also a lot more meaningful and longstanding. So I have faith that people can learn from it. So this is like something that's kind of come up on Facebook. A friend of mine who's very nice, like a very nice person, and she posted, you know, she's right wing, and as you can imagine, I've lost a lot of high school friends, you know, and it's friends is you know Facebook
somebody
friends
loses acquaintance sense
right.
of the
and
term
who don't
want to
they don't want to hear me anymore on Facebook and talk to me anymore, which I'm sure,
I can't imagine why
I'm sure so we're talking about this thing and it's kind of like we're gonna be everyone's gonna be very civil about this and this other girl who from high school gets on and just goes after me. PJ's so still. He never listens to anybody else, and all he cares about his opinion and getting his last word.
He's a plant from George Soros and Jeff Bezos.
Not quite like that. No, we went to high school together. No, these are people that I went to high school with, you know, but we didn't have any political conversations in high school ever.
Well,
of course
no,
not.
Yeah,
ever.
Who did?
But it was a. Clearly, it was
if
a,
they did, they
it was more of a right wing school. You know,
they'd have written it on their calendar.
So
but they kept for 35 years.
But we're trying to like talk and like you know and keep it
civil.
Yeah, and you know she said like some good stuff. She's like you know through this whole as the more time goes on, you know I don't know how I feel about it. You know because when she first posted, she was like. You know, this is kind of an outrage. They're treating them terrible. And I have sons and I'm worried about what's going to happen to them. And you know,
sure.
I know.
Pump the brakes.
Yeah, sure. I know, but that's but culturally, you're not going to see that as quickly as you and I will see that, you know, they won't see, they just won't, you know, in a male dominated Christian kind of upbringing, you know, you're going to respect the man and you're going to refer to the man and defer to the man. And I'm sure that there's within every denomination I'm sure that there's this logical, you know, thing that they use to justify it and say, oh, it's just this and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it inevitably that's how you're going to view things. Is
I had somebody ask me the same things. Well, I have sons and I'm worried about their future and blah, blah. I was like, look.
Then tell them not to rape.
If you teach, yeah. If you teach
your pie chart on reasons for rape.
If you teach your son, yeah, the pie chart for reasons is rapist. That's the only thing thing that causes rape is rapist.
That was a good pie chart.
But if you teach your sons to respect women, you know what they're never going to do? Hurt them.
Yeah.
Disrespect
them,
rape them. Like that's, and I didn't want to be like on my high horse. So I was like, my parents taught me to respect women. And I've been in those questionable, drunken situations. And you know what I never, ever did? I never raped a woman.
Like, yeah.
It's easy. Like, oh, this girl's too drunk. I'm going to take her home and leave her there.
Yep.
That, there you go. Like, this isn't rocket science, you know?
No. It's like, it's way stupid to bring this up, but there's a stupid country song on the radio right now. And it's like the difference between like a boy and a man or whatever is like he's like basically saying like take a drunk girl home. And he's like, I am literally just taking her home.
I'm literally taking her home.
And like,
yeah.
And I'm cool. That's good. That's a good message that you're putting out there, guy.
Thank you.
Who is it?
I don't know.
I want to know who that is.
I don't know. The song's called Take a Drunk Girl Home, I think, or something like that.
Because there's so much other stuff about, like, let's get drunk, let's do it, yeah. And,
right.
I mean, that's not how it actually goes.
The whole thing is brought up for me, it's not that it's brought it up, because I've heard it 1,000 times or whatever, but like, I'm really decent. Person
brought to the surface,
like, yeah. I'm a very decent person, mm-hmm. and I have always been much like you, where I'm like, I've never done anything that's been like outrageously bad or anything.
Nope.
But and so I'm like sitting here and I'm like, man, I'm a really good person. But then like somebody's like, okay, well, what do you do to prevent sexual abuse for yourself? And I'm like, what? And then, like,
what precautions do you take every day to prevent? Well, and I saw
assault. Like it was like a class experiment or something that somebody posted where it was like, "What do you do?" And all the guys were like, "What?" I don't know that. And I'm like, "What do you females do?" And they're like, "I carry my keys in my hand and I check the backseat of my car and I
don't
do this.
Live in a first floor apartment.
And I don't live on the first floor and I lock my windows even if it's hot outside and I do this and I do that and I do this and I carry this and I do this and I check this and I do this and I make sure this hasn't happened and I don't get in an elevator if there's only a man in there and I don't do this and I'm like, yay.
Yeah.
And it just brings that stuff back up where I'm like, taking it for granted is not like the right term, but like I take it for granted that I'm a white male.
Yeah.
Where it's not that I take it for granted. I just don't think about it where it's like so out of sight, out of mind for me.
It's almost like
that. I don't even think about like if I'm walking my dog down the street and a woman's walking her dog down towards me.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
the old crazy adage was privilege, right? No, it's true. And like, I was just going to bring it up. The whole crazy, like, if it's me walking down the street privilege. And if it's you walking down the street, like, A, they're scared of me because I'm a man, but now it's you and they're even more scared of you because you're a tall black man.
Right. And I also have the privilege of like, I can just walk down the street.
Right.
And I don't have to worry about being raped.
Right.
As a man.
Yeah. Right.
Doubly so as a tall black man.
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't have to worry about being, less people are going to mess with me.
Shot.
Yeah. I have to worry about that.
Right.
Which is
another thing altogether.
It's another different thing. But that's, we all have different degrees of privilege. And what this brings to the surface is right now, like, women really have the fucking short end of the stick in the situation.
And like, maybe they do have some sort of privilege that I'm unaware of, but I don't think so.
I think more like just in you could view some female privilege in more of a personal type of thing, but not as in social status or social privileges.
Sure.
I think that like, you know, that being an attractive girl and the things that brings you, there's that, but it doesn't
alleviate the risk.
No, that's what I'm saying. There's nothing like on like a social scale.
Getting out of a ticket is not the same as like not being a rapist
or getting paid 30% plus.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You're like, but I get out of a ticket. It's like, well, that's great.
Yeah.
That doesn't make up for the fact that you're not that you ever going to be the CEO and you're going to get paid less and you're going
you
to get raped in the elevator.
Exactly.
You have always to watch your friends at night and don't work late.
So it's a decent conversation to have. You take your decency for granted and then you're like wondering, well, how decent am I if I'm not proactively?
Right, I'm not doing anything. Right.
I'm just sitting
here going, I'm a good person.
But then you're like, well, what can I do?
Right.
Why? What can I do? I mean, the only thing I can think of to do for like just a regular ass dude is to, when you see anything that's even close to like questionable behavior from people that are either your peers or like right. what's on the internet or whatever, is call it out. Like that's all you can really do.
And like step in, like this is way easier said than done, but like step in if something is going down or could potentially be going down. Like I stopped to get gas. No, I wasn't even getting gas. I was like stopping at AMPM to grab like a soda or something on the way home.
Yeah.
And like I had to park around the side of it, and it's like nighttime, and a woman was parked next to me, and there was this dude just kind of like hanging out and like walked to the corner and watched her go in and walked to the thing, and she went back, or she was getting air in her tires or something.
Sure.
And like it was like on the backside of this gas station.
Yeah.
And like the dude's just kind of hovering there. And so like I didn't get out and do anything.
I got out of my car
and I just sat there.
I'm gonna stay for
and like I made eye contact with her and I was like, "You good?" Yeah. And she was like, "Mm-hmm." And I was like, "All right, well I'm here."
Yeah.
And like that was all it took. Hmm. And like this guy would have killed me anything would have went down.
Yeah.
But like in my mind, I'm like, oh, sweet. I just helped her know that she's not alone.
Yeah.
But like, I thought about it later and I was like, for all she knows, I could have been that dude's like partner.
Right. Right.
Like this guy's trying to distract me.
Or you were the dude and he was maybe protecting
and
her.
And so it's like all these things that like, I was like, ooh, I stepped in, I did a good thing by helping, quote unquote. I didn't do shit. But like thinking about it more, it's like, she's probably fucking terrified of everyone in that situation.
Yeah.
But like, hopefully I put off the vibe and like was there present enough to be like, yo, I'm on your side right now.
I think about that,
but like
something similar, like when I'm walking down the street, like alone, like if I'm going out to meet buddies or whatever in the neighborhood, like cause I'll walk because I'm being responsible. I'm not going to drive. And like, I walk fast.
Yeah.
Like I got long legs. I'm a fast walker. And once or twice I've walked like past like girls on the street, like quickly. And as I go past, like I sense a thing and I'm like, oh man, like I totally like overtook her like on the sidewalk. That probably like scared the shit out of her.
Oh, like from behind.
Like I'm walking from behind. Right. And I'm just like, boom, like going past her. Like that was probably like a jarring kind of moment for her. And I don't, it's one of the elements of being a male and having male privileges. I don't think about how that affects somebody when I'm on the street and I'm walking behind them and I get close.
Were you ever taught to cross the street or told to cross the street?
No.
Because that was something we were always taught.
Really?
That like if you're walking and there's a woman on the side of on your side of the street, you cross the street and you cross on the other side.
No, like walking towards that. Or away from? Like either way?
Either way. Yeah, either way.
Interesting.
Just especially like if they're alone and at night.
Who taught you that?
Mom. Nice. In Chicago. I mean, yeah, on the block in Chicago.
That's solid.
That was like a thing.
Nice. No, that's probably like the way to go. Or like, because you can't be like, coming up from behind. Like, yeah.
Like, I mean,
if on your left. Oh, God.
If you're
behind you, like you can't.
Nice trick. You're actually on my right.
It's not like you're jogging.
I meant right. My other right.
It's not like you're jogging or whatever. You can't like call it out. You're like walking to the bar, or whatever.
I think it's also like during
the
day. I'm
approaching you from the left side now.
During the day, it's different. But especially, and if it's like more people on the street, but at night, but particularly we were taught like, especially at night, if you're walking at night, and it's late at night, you cross the street, you just don't, you just give everybody as much space as they can.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was a rough neighborhood.
BJ from the Hood.
No, but that's legit though. That's like a solid, easy solution to make everyone feel better.
I think there's probably tons of them out there somewhere.
Sure. But like I said, I thought I was, a solution. But then I thought about it and I was like, dude, what was she thinking? Like, did she think that I was on her side? I hope so.
Yeah.
Because like that's the vibe that I got. Like, I was like, I got you. Like, I'm here and I got you.
Yeah.
And it's like, but now there's two weird dudes like staring at her while she's getting air in her tire. You know what I mean? Like,
I was not similar, but sort of similar. I was leaving my buddy's bar. This is years and years ago. And I'm walking out of the bar and there's this girl like trying to get into what I assumed was her car. And she was like literally falling down drunk, couldn't do it. Like, and she'd fall onto the sidewalk and she'd like pass out for a second and then get up and like try and get back into the car. And like my thought was like, if I go over there and I help her, what's that going to look like?
You right. know,
if I'm picking her up and trying to get her into a car, like if a cop rolls up,
yeah,
like right. I'm getting blasted.
Oh yeah.
It's cause she's a blonde white girl
right.
mm-hmm. to boot. But then I'm on the other hand, I'm like, well, I have to help her because like, what if the what wrong if somebody person else walks decide? By?
Exactly. Right.
So like I got her up and I'm like, hey, should we call you a cab? And she's like slurring her words. So I go into the bar and I get what my solution was. Go get more people. So I go into the bar and I'm like, and I let like the owner of the establishment know, like, hey, this girl's outside, trashed, trying to get into her car. Like, obviously, like she's alone. Like she could like
did you
hurt
serve
herself
her?
Or, yeah, is this your problem?
What have you done?
But we should call her a cab in some official capacity so that she knows that it's not just some dude on the street
right.
trying to help out. So, and it's things like that. Like it's taking a step back and removing yourself from the situation and trying to see it from her perspective before you do anything, right. I think can be a big help. And I think getting other people, especially if it's not just other dudes, but like if there are women nearby, like people to come and help if you find yourself in a situation where you're alone with a woman that things could be misconstrued. Like why risk it?
Right.
If you're in from the vein of like, you're worried about your sons, like teach them to
do things,
be respectful.
Do the right thing, yeah. be respectful, and get help
and
when
help
is needed.
Yeah, help people.
And help when people, they, when they need right. help.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But
step one, don't rape.
Yeah.
Step two.
I was never,
repeat step one.
Yeah. Like, I was never told that, you know.
I never had to be told that.
No, me neither.
No.
But, you know.
Maybe some people need to be told that.
Maybe we all need to be told that. I don't know.
Maybe.
You know, maybe that's something that, you know.
No, maybe tank tops need to be outlawed. I'm just kidding. That was terrible. That was a terrible joke.
I saw people.
I was trying to go for something.
No.
And I was like,
no, that brings
nah,
up something.
I don't know
because I saw
it.
In the news, I saw in news articles people saying, when has anyone ever said what a woman was wearing affected whether or not she was raped? I'm like, have you paid attention to anything ever? Like it's
yeah.
said every single time.
She was asking for it,
sometimes
bro.
Sometimes in
yeah.
court. But,
yeah.
Well, what were you wearing? Like,
that's certainly a provocative outfit you're wearing.
Yeah. yeah
so like, what kind of response were you looking for?
She was asking for it.
You wanted people to look at.
Wait, were you flirting with this man? Yes.
Yes. And then I wasn't.
Yeah. And then I wasn't.
Right. Until he was a creep.
Yeah. He doesn't have to be a creep. It'd just be like, well, no, I'm done. This isn't where I wanted to go. And it's like, oh, okay.
Before we got
like
here.
One more step.
Lindsay told me a story about a girl that she knows who had a string of dates where like they'd go out and they'd get a little bit drunk and they'd either end up making out or kissing there
sure.
or like going somewhere else. And it was from the girl's perspective. And there'd be a point where the guy would go, he'd step back and go, you don't seem that into this. And then she'd be like, meh. And the guy would just leave.
Huh.
And it happened to her like with three or four dudes in a row the exact same way where
weird.
They're like, you don't seem that into this. She's
weird.
Like, meh. And they're like, all right, peace.
Huh.
And it's like, that's like the opposite of what's happening in the news right now.
Right.
Because apparently there are guys out there. That
so yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Or, applaud her for
because
her.
Because there is
her.
A sense of like reading the room,
right?
Like, when you're
absolutely
when you're with someone and like, oh, she's not that into this, and some people will just press on,
right?
And
I can turn it,
right?
Yeah, I can make her get into it.
I haven't lost
it.
The crowd yet. Like,
I'm wearing her down.
If I tell the right
which
kind
way,
of joke,
my A material,
I'm wearing her
we'll
down,
see,
man.
We'll see what happens.
And you know, I hate to say it, but maybe sometimes that is the case where
right.
someone's not into it and then they get into it, but. I would say you should err on the side of caution and that
right.
if you get that sense, which
pump
let's face it, if you have any experience at all,
it's
pretty apparent.
Obvious.
It's pretty apparent when someone's not into it. And if they're not into it, just back off
you're
and
like,
say, hey, and actually say the words, hey, you don't seem that into this.
Yeah.
And if they're like, oh, no, I'm into it.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I'm just bad.
Okay.
I'm just really bad at this.
Yeah. yeah. And some people are. Yeah.
yeah.
And sometimes people are.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then keep trying. And
yeah.
if you get that sense and it's really strong again, you're like,
yeah.
are you sure?
Yeah,
like,
maybe not.
I really don't think so. Like, no, I'm into it. Okay.
Let's watch a show. Let's
but
watch
look
a movie or something. You know,
look instead. For enthusiastic consent. Like, there should be no doubt in your mind.
Well, maybe.
Ivan, you know?
Do you know where she was meeting these gentlemen? Was it online
some
dates?
Of them,
or
sometimes
like,
it was a party. Sometimes it was at a bar. Sometimes it wasn't online date. Like, they were all very different. And
I'm
each of them ended the same way.
I'm curious if the online dating thing is preventing or is not preventing obviously but it's more of a deterrent from the people that will be abusers. Because it's so not, it's not public. But most of the time, you're like, yo, I met this guy on Tinder. I'm going to go here and do this. And this is him. And here's his profile.
And it's not like his information is hidden.
And so. This is who he is.
Yeah.
And so it's like, maybe people have it in their mind that, like, since everything's so connected and digital now. Because, like, all the stuff that's really coming out of the woodwork is all the stuff when people didn't have cameras on their phones or sure. didn't have their information at a drop of a hat.
You think, like, if you're single, it might be, like, safer to use a dating site?
As opposed to just meeting somebody on the street?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And like, but what's funny is that, like, so I listen to do you guys listen to Courtney's podcast, We're All Human with Courtney Broussard?
Have you listened to it
because
before?
It's hilarious.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. And she goes on a lot of dates and stuff and online dating and all this stuff. And she's like, but you know what I miss? I miss the, like, guy that just comes up to you and starts talking to you and you get the vibe and do this. And, like, I miss that thing.
Sure.
Because the online thing is so manufactured.
It's clinical. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like you're going to the doctor.
But at the same time, it's like obviously meeting somebody online is a million times safer than just meeting somebody that bumps into you at the bar.
I guess so. You know, I have zero experience.
Me neither. I'm totally talking out of my ass right now.
But I mean, I'm just thinking logically.
On paper, it kind of makes sense.
I mean, because you have a paper trail of sorts to find who they are. Yeah. And they could be totally catfishing and making everything up.
Sure.
Which is possible. But that's an extra
You're not
going to
have sex with that person.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's an extra added step into them, like, being a psychopath anyway. If they're, like, creating this, like, perfect persona just so they can meet people.
I guess the question would be, like, I wonder how easy it is to
I guess
it's photos, because you're matching, at least you have photos.
Right.
So you wouldn't want to be in a,
find a bunch of photos, the same stock photo model.
No, but I mean, if you met somebody, and they would match their photo.
Oh, right.
Well, and then if anything happens.
There's at least that one step of verification.
At least, yeah.
Yeah. But then if they delete their profile or whatever, you don't still have access to that stuff. So,
true.
But anyway, still, regardless, at least you have some sort of knowledge, real or fake or perceived or whatever, of who this person is before, like, somebody just, like, tap you on the shoulder and, like, hey, can I buy you a drink? Like, I noticed you from across the way. And, like, da, da, da. At least, like, that might be more exciting and thrilling, because obviously it is. It's like, ooh, like, I did something to make something
spontaneous,
rare, because that's rare. Like, I was
meant to happen
when I was dating. I never, and when I finally got the courage up to, like, go talk to somebody, and I just get, like, shot down, like, instantaneously, and, like, I'm not an ugly dude or anything, but, like, when it's just, like, nope, and, like, not interested, it's like, oh, you guys are just having a different, you're not here for this.
When you got shot down, was there, like, a particular, I don't know, sound that played in your head, maybe? Something that...
Can I get your number? No.
A certain feeling you got? Yeah.
But, like... But it was so great to be like, hey, what's up? And just have a conversation with somebody.
The thrill of trying.
And, like, and I ended up dating a girl. We were camping downtown. Mm-hmm. It was like when Rent was coming to town, when Rent was a huge phenomenon. And, like, you could camp out and, like, get front row tickets or whatever if you were in line. And so, like, we're like, me and all my theater dorky friends are, like, going to go sleep downtown San Diego.
That's,
and, like,
so cool.
Yeah, it was great. And, like, there was another group sitting next to us, and I was like, I'm going to go chat with them because, like, obviously we're like-minded right now. We're sleeping on the streets downtown to see a show.
Right.
And I went up and I started talking to her, and I was like, hey, you know, I noticed you're from over here. This is my group. We're over here. You're over here. You want to come over and hang out and chit-chat for a little bit? And, like, great.
Yeah.
And, like, and we ended up, like, dating for a while. And I was like, that was a really good – like, if we got married, like, that's a bomb story.
Cool story. Like, sorry, Sam. No.
Well, we met in culinary school, which is also a cool story.
Also
story. But it's not like I swiped right, you know? Which,
right.
Like, I'm glad that that's working for a lot of people. And, like – I would rather people be with somebody than be alone.
Yeah.
And so I don't care how you're meeting them. But, like, people are making up stories to be like, oh, yeah, we met somewhere. We met at the coffee shop that they agreed to go to.
But are people still doing that, though?
I think so.
People are just saying,
what do you mean?
I've met on weddings.
Instead of being like, I met on Tinder.
They're making up stories.
They, like, met on Tinder, and then they're like, let's go to the coffee shop. And then their meet story is like, we met at a coffee shop.
Well, Tinder particularly is such
a hiccup. Where people steer into that, where they, like, put on the invitation, he swiped right, or, like, something cute like that.
Right.
We clearly met online.
That's good.
So there's definitely, I'm sure there's, like, a bit of both.
Right.
I would imagine.
But, like, it was always more fun or more, like, to me anyway, personally, like it was great when like I had that, like, oh, we met like this.
A spontaneous
yeah.
thing.
Like, yeah, we just bumped
happen,
it. Like,
happened in nature.
It's the whole like meet cute thing where you like bump and like
meet cute.
Your like hands meet when you pick up a book together. You know, oh, that my. Stupid like movie stuff that's meet cute.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is. But like,
I think I've heard that before. Maybe yeah, you've said that before.
It's a yeah, thing.
It's a thing.
I like it. It's a good
but
thing.
Like, those are cool stories.
Yeah.
And so, like, I get where Courtney's coming from, where it's like, yeah, like, I miss that. Like, I go on dates from guys online or whatever, because that's what's there. But, yeah, like,
and that's what people do now.
And nowadays, like, going way, like, bringing it way back around is, like, guys are afraid to do it now. But it's like, don't be afraid to do it. Just walk up and not be a freaking rapist.
Yeah.
Like,
afraid
like,
of what?
Like, just go up and flirt.
Big problem.
She's going to misinterpret my advances as being
then
rapey.
You're not
like,
being
then
a very,
don't be rapey.
You're not a very good flirt then, yeah, dude. Like, if you're flirting is groping and grabbing and, like, leaning up against a wall, guess what? That's not flirting.
All you have to do is talk to her like she's a person.
Yeah.
Because she is. And then you won't come off that way.
Like, or just walk up and even say some stupid line.
Hey, how you doing?
Like, or use a dumb line. Yeah. Like, so, like, especially nowadays, like, I feel like, what do I know? I'm like, I haven't been,
you're married.
Right. But like,
you're
but
an like, old married
like,
man.
I would think using a cheesy, dumb line, like, if you're a somewhat funny person.
Yeah,
right.
If it was
like,
funny.
It's funny. Yeah.
It's swung back around to that.
Yeah. Believe, where it's not like some dude actually, in the 80s isn't like, hey, did it hurt when you fell from heaven? But like, if you use it, like,
that's
yeah,
beautiful.
I've never heard such good
let's
work.
Let's go home right now.
It just makes me laugh. Do we have a lot more to go on this topic? Because I want to get to Maddie's movie, and or we can end with that, I guess. Because we don't really have a main topic, right?
No. I mean, I did watch American Vandal 2.
Ooh, I do want to hear about that.
Season 2 of The Good Place.
Ooh, I want to hear about that, too.
Well, there you go.
Do we have anything more that we want to say on the Kavanaugh thing?
Other than I'm really hoping that it's an opportunity for me to
grow
yeah, for sure.
Sure,
and do something good, you know, and yeah, because I'm an artist, you know, been doing some kind of performance or something
right,
for 25 plus years, and so when I'm looking at what kind of creative outlets and what's going to stir me up, doing something good and making the world better is through what I do, it comes up.
It's definitely a huge motivator to not be a dick.
To just that's true.
Be like nice
that
to
mean,
people
and you are,
in
and
general,
you're going to make a difference, like, to not be a dick. But
do you think, like, obviously it's not going to happen overnight, but do you think that in some future, the racism's gone, sexual abuse is gone? Not gone,
I
but down, instead of being so
significant,
commonplace, the down, like, into the low percents of situations where it arises.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that.
So, like, yeah, those weird, like, you know, utopias where everyone's wearing the gray cloaks and everyone's, like, the same and, like,
you're all assigned
where it's, like,
to a mate at 7
like,
years
where it's,
old.
Like, it's, I don't think we're ever going to get to that point where it's, like,
no,
this perfect
right,
utopia
I don't
of
know if
peace
we'd want that,
and everything.
But
right. But maybe, why not? Like, what would be so wrong if it was, like, a perfect, like, everyone loved everyone society? You know,
if we
what
can
mean? Like,
learn to
maybe
ask each other more questions instead of trying to talk at each other, then right, yes, maybe.
Maybe. All right, here we go. So, you know how they talk about the one, there was like a, oh, dang it, like, each, there's like extraterrestrials, and they say, how many, there's movies, you know, how many of them are you? Just one. But there's a whole bunch of them, but they all work together,
oh, like the high
as a piece
thing
of one.
Yeah,
yeah,
oh,
as a
yeah,
piece
high
of
mind,
one larger thing.
Yeah.
That we are one that has potential for greatness that we have not even come close to tapping into yet.
Right. If we can
and
just
that,
get there.
And that, yeah, and that, that at some point, we, you know, when we all
when
do
Elon
realize
Musk
that
turns on the Neuralink and we all like, what?
Is that if that's a thing and it makes it happen?
When we all realize that every other, like, behind every opinion, behind every thought, behind every written word, there is a whole another person who's, I've said this before on this
right,
podcast,
yeah, probably last
life
week,
and experience is right, as vivid and valid as yours is, then yeah, we can get there. But
right,
until we realize that, no.
I don't know. I don't know.
Sorry, because he's so, like, beautiful, and Frankie's. dragging his ass.
Sit on.
It's like this beautiful moment. Yeah. I think we can get to this beautiful place when Frankie's like, my hemorrhoids, my booty hole.
Sounds like we need to take somebody to the groomers.
Oh my god.
Good timing. I'm like, just the juxtaposition there. The little, I don't know if that's the right word or not.
No, but I'm glad, I'm glad you noticed that. Like,
good times. Well, it's, I don't know.
The sunset tonight was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I don't know if anything's going to come of it, like I said, overnight, but at least it like re-sparked it in my head that like I take, like I honestly take my, you know, white male privilege for granted.
Sure.
Like,
hey,
that's still not the right way to say it, but like the fact that I don't, like, when I go outside my house right now to take the trash out, like, I'm not worried that somebody's behind the bushes.
Yeah. I feel like most, and at least most of, if no, all of the men that I know since Me Too started have seriously evaluated their behavior towards women in the past, in the present, mm-hmm. and in the future.
And that's a good
thing. And if men are doing that, then yeah, we can get
moving
to
the right place.
So
cool. But like, do you think he's gonna get appointed?
It's gonna be fun to watch. And that was one thing too. Is like on Friday. So God, the Trump thing on Tuesday, it was making me nuts. He had a press conference.
Oh, yeah.
And he was literally like, it was insane. He was insane, like up there. And then the exact almost similar behavior was distributed or shown by Kavanaugh on his second time through when he was like, I drink. I like beer. Do you like beer? You know, that whole thing was insane.
Yeah.
Like truly so, unhinged.
But like, so and everyone's watching. So it's just such a big giant theater about it. And then on Friday, the whole thing about with Flake and him at the last minute.
I was watching the video. Talking to him. Oh,
I did.
My God.
In the elevator.
That was rough.
Yeah.
And I could see, and I saw his face, and it came out on the news.
When she says, "Look at me," I'm like, "Ooh,
yeah, yeah." That was rough.
I had to pause this video.
Well, that whole that was rough on everybody. Right now, that whole thing. I mean, you know, my friend Justine, who's very, you know, socially in touch with all kinds of stuff, including you know, sexual violence and mm-hmm. gender issues and things like that. That everybody in her circle is just like they're having a rough time. You know, it's like it's rough with all that.
Heard more stories from girls that I grew up with, like, because, you know, Facebook, again, we're all connected now, which is great. Like, girls I grew up with from way back when that I'm not totally in touch with now in person have all been sharing stories about, yeah, this happened to me, this happened to me. I'm like,
yeah. And it's been shared.
Really happened to everybody. Like, this is nuts, guys.
Right.
Like, we got to do better. Like, that is not okay.
It's not. Bill Cosby's in jail, though. Hey-o.
Good.
To start.
Yep. There we go.
And then maybe you know, he won't get nominated, and they'll put someone else up who's not a rapist.
Right. And I don't care who they are. That's the thing. Like, I don't care.
It seems like an easy checklist for a job. Yeah, don't be a rapist.
Yeah.
Like, I got that qualification.
Don't be a rapist and don't have, like, weird, like, crazy, like, big-time crimes, like insider trading or any of that crap. Just be a normal person with weird, normal skeletons in your closet.
You accidentally steal sunglasses from Rite Aid. That's not bad.
Yeah, who would ever do that?
If you accidentally stole a bunch of golf balls and golf tees when you were 16 from the Alameda County Golf Course, I don't know anybody who's done that.
Right.
That's forgivable. You
yeah,
know,
have normal skeletons in your closet. Like,
country
everyone
club crime.
Has skeletons in their closet. Yeah. Everybody does. Just make sure it's not a big rapey one.
Right.
Like, no rapey skeletons, guys.
Our country club crime was like trying to get open cars and then getting the change out of it. and then we got caught.
Dude.
We got caught. Yeah. And then they called my dad.
Dude.
High larceny.
Dude.
Yeah. Well, it was
funny
too.
They called your dad. What'd your dad say?
My dad, he's...
Was he furious?
He was mad. He was mad. Mm-hmm. If you know my dad, it's so funny. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't work anymore. It used to be that lots of people who were like, I never see you mad. Me.
I'm that person.
You've never seen me mad?
Oh, I've never seen you mad, but people say that about me.
Yeah,
right.
Like, I've never seen you mad.
Yeah. And so I don't. He wouldn't. He can't. It's hard to picture him angry.
Sure.
He does get worked up. Especially
everybody does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and the thing was, we were getting them so we could go to the cigarette machine and buy cigarettes.
Oh my God,
yeah.
BJ.
Yeah. And dude, smoke cigarettes.
You can't be on the Supreme Court now, man.
Yeah. That was little
that's
Fred.
That's not that bad.
Fred
that's
Cooley.
Disqualifying.
Well, the breaking into cars part's bad.
Yeah.
But well, we weren't breaking into cars. They had to be unlocked. Otherwise, I mean, we weren't like with a slim gym. We weren't with a slim gym.
Still going know. Into someone else's car.
Not for a pale looking guy like
just
me.
That's
not a bad crime. You know, it's just boys.
Similarly, not yes. really though, but dude, I used to go to like the yeah, mall when it was closed and we would like hike up our pants and go in the fountains and take the change out of the fountains and then go to Coinstar.
Dirty.
Wow.
That is not okay. Those are people's wishes,
know,
Jared.
Dude. It was messed okay. up, dude. I was a stupid kid. But see, okay. that's the kind of
but
stuff
that's
I did
kid
when
stuff.
I was a see when yeah. I say I was a stupid kid, I was stealing change out of the fountains at Grossmont Center.
Yeah, if boys
that's
will be
what
boys
I was doing.
Is boys are like eating dirt and stealing change out
or
of the
like
fountain.
I would occasionally maybe hypothetically I would take like a tangerine off a tree and maybe it would end up flying its way towards the street. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like these are the kinds of idiotic, stupid bullshit that I was doing.
I
was
rock,
not pinning girls up against walls.
Yeah, I threw a rock straight at the ground at my friend's like elevated house and it bounced across the street and broke somebody's window.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a stupid yeah. that's a stupid
that's
kid
like
thing.
One of those ones you're like, no.
I'm like, no way.
Run.
Yeah. Yeah. He couldn't. His mom came
Run.
Out immediately.
That was a thing
I
in
felt
Chicago.
So bad.
Like everybody just there was scatter. Yeah, scatter. Everybody yeah, scattered. Scatter. And there was like, you know, like scatter. Alleys in all directions. Yes, and then like high. And you just wait, and then like an hour later,
yep.
like,
hey, what's
you
up?
Like kind of like, hey. Yes, like
if somebody out, like, came out and tried to be like Judge Kavanaugh, you broke a window when you were 17. I'd be like, all right, that's stupid.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Judge Kavanaugh, you held down a girl and put your hand over my mouth. Like, whoa!
Right.
Yeah, stop yeah, the presses. Yeah. Like, those yeah. are stupid yeah. kid things.
You, saying boys will be boys is a thing when it's like that kind of to me.
What I am
being stupid,
but,
being
but again,
stupid like that.
But again, to correct myself, it shouldn't be boys will be boys. It should be kids will be kids or teens will be teens.
Yeah.
Not boys will be boys because kids
things.
Do stupid shit. Like,
there's a thing, but, there's a segment on NPR and it was a guy who's in charge of a, I forget where, but it's like a men's studies organization thing. And he was talking about the phrase boys will be boys. And he just made a very simple, just sort of elegant argument about it. He's like, we only use boys will be boys to describe really shitty behavior.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like we right. never say, boys will be boys when it's like, you know, Cub Scouts picking up trash
right,
in
right.
your neighborhood. Like, we don't use it to describe
right.
amazing, awesome, good qualities.
Yeah, oh, look at that sweet kid. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Boys
will be boys.
Will be boys. That's sweet. That's not exceptional. Right. We only use it to describe, like, shitty, crappy behavior.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Maybe yep. we should think more about that.
Let's not use that phrase anymore.
Yep. Yeah.
But that was news, I guess, right?
It was.
That's what's up. What's up.
And yes. let's find out what Maddie has to say.
Yay.
To change things up a little bit.
And now, another installment of What Do I Know with Matt Warburton.
Hello, everyone. I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know? Okay, so I know I was going to talk about the thriller comedy A Simple Favor, but I kind of wasn't awake for all of it. But I don't blame the movie at all. I blame the situation. See, when I went to the theater, most of the seats were already reserved except for the front row. So Serena and I decided, hey, this is a comfortable theater. Sitting up front should be fine. We were wrong. The screen was so big and encompassing, and we were so close and so far to the side, it was like going to a concert and watching it from the perspective of the drum mic. The seats reclined, and the only way I could see the screen was reclining all the way back, cocking my head to a distressful angle, and jutting my eyes to a place that I don't think I've ever forced them to go before. So I'm in the theater, reclined to the point of laying flat on my back, uncomfortably looking like a Gothic statue that they would use in a Catholic church to demonstrate pain and consequences. Now I'm watching this movie that starts off with Anna Kendrick vlogging about being a mom, and I'm feeling miserable, and everything is annoying. I had to give my eyes a rest several times, and one thing led to another, and I dozed off at certain points. Key moments, I think. Anyway, all that to say, I don't feel prepared that I could honestly give a good review. So, I'm going to do a review about a movie that I've been sitting on for a while. Crazy Rich Asians. Nice. Now, I know that everyone is dying to hear what a white cis male thinks about Crazy Rich Asians, but it's the only bonus movie that I have in the chamber, and it's been a movie that's been brought up a few times on this podcast, so here we go. Rich Asians is based off of a series of novels by Kevin Kwan. The sequel novels include China Rich Girlfriend and Rich People Problems, which it looks like the sequels are also in the works for films. Hmm. Crazy Rich Asians follows Rachel Chu, played by Constance Wu. She is a college professor who is engaged to Nick Young, played by Henry Golding, who is also in A Simple Favor, BT Dubs. It turns out that Nick is from a famously wealthy family and basically grew up a prince. He just never told Rachel because he liked having her like him for him and not his fame and money. Well, she goes off to China with him to meet the parents, except instead of a hilarious Robert De Niro, she's met with one scary mother, Eleanor Young, played by Michelle Yeoh of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon fame. After several cutting encounters, Rachel realizes Nick's mom does not like her. So, with the help of some newfound friends, Rachel strives to fit in with some crazy rich Asians. So this movie followed the genre of the monster-in-law trope. We've seen it before, it's been done a lot in cinema. The thing that I really liked about Crazy Rich Asians is that it seems to come from a much more honest place than I've seen it done before. In films like these centered around Americans, it always seems that it's the person who has their own hang-ups or reasons why the person their son or daughter is marrying isn't good enough. In Crazy Rich Asians, it's about culture, protecting the family name, image, and most importantly, heritage. So even though you're on Rachel's side, you can still understand why the mother has her mindset the way she does. So just alone bringing in culture and classism breathes new life into an old form of storytelling, which I really dig. Other aspects of this movie I enjoyed were the actors. I mean, to be honest, Nick and Rachel didn't get me too riled up on screen, but I love the supporting cast. Awkwafina was hilarious as Rachel's college friend, who was her support and main source of advice on the culture. She stole every scene she was in. Ken Jeong had some great moments, and I really like Jimmy O Yang, who plays one of Nick's over-the-top college buddies. Like a Chinese Stifler. Jimmy O Yang, of course, plays the hilariously mean-spirited Jin Yang in Silicon Valley. So this movie was packed full of fun people, but the other great element was the cinematography. The cinematography is great. The shots are so vibrant and beautiful. My roommate found them to be almost too unbelievable. But the landscapes and environment shots and they did such a good job with them and encompassing the surroundings and really taking that all in. They did a lot of great work with this one, and I really believe they cranked out a quality looking and feeling movie that gives a lot of representation to the Asian community. But that's just my opinion. I say put on your fanciest duds, work hard to try to impress a mother obsessed with image, fail, and then go to the movies and watch Crazy Rich Asians because, hey, what do I know? Next time I'll be watching something. I'm not sure what it is, but it will be something. Maybe I'll give A Simple Favor another pass. Who knows? Until next time, I've been Matt, and this has been What Do I Know?
You know, I've been to movies recently where I had to sit in the front row, and it was, like, miserable.
The worst.
Boo.
Miserable. I haven't done that in a long
boo.
Yeah.
Time. Boo.
Yeah, I say boo to that, too. But yay to Maddie's.
Look, review. I made a thing.
Wow. Thank you, Matt, for another installment of What Do I Know?
Could you turn that up a little
that
bit?
That sounded bad.
if you could crank it up a little bit.
That was sounded good. Bad. It sounded so much better on my laptop.
I couldn't quite hear that.
No, that's crazy. Moving.
like Michael Myers or something.
Bing, gung, gung, gung. Yeah. I'm not going to do a commercial break, I don't think. Do we want to pause, though? No?
Oh, you know what? I didn't mention what's up. We're recording on Sunday because I went to the Far Side concert on Thursday.
Nice. Oh, what's that?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Now, is this like back in the day when I was young? I'm not a kid anymore, but some days I used to wish I was a kid again. Mm-mm. Not Far Side. No.
Far Side is Oh Shit. You know the song? Oh Shit. Oh Shit. Nope. Well, to say the least, I'm so slick that they need to call me Grease because I slip and I slide and I ride up a meat. I'm Annie and your mama sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
It's probably the same person then. No?
No, it's a band. I mean, there's like three rappers. There's three there rappers.
Goes over my head.
But anyway, that's why we're recording on Sunday.
And it
was a lot of fun. And I make this reference during the a Far Side reference during the pet show when Quentin is the Quinn, I should say, mm-hmm. when Quinn is the dog, the little dog, because mm-hmm. She runs a course and then she gets in the boat and then she goes across the thing. And I always say something about, I usually make a joke like, I'm on a boat. Look at me, I'm on a boat. I do a dual on the boat thing.
Yeah.
But when Quinn's on there, Quinn gets on the boat and I go, Quentin's on his way, Quentin's on his way, Quentin's on his way with another J and it's okay.
And that's a Far Side thing?
That's a Far Side, yeah. Far Side reference.
Interesting.
Bizarre Ride to the Far Side is the name of their fantastic album that was really influential and it was in heavy rotation for me back
Bizarre
in the day.
Bizarre Ride to the Far Side.
Mm. And it's spelled P-H-A-R-C-Y-D-E.
Yes. Yep, it's not a comic book written it's good by Jim
and I think
Larson.
That they got
not
rid of one of the
Gary
one of the
Larson.
Things.
Gary Larson?
No, Jim Gary Larson? Larson's. You mean the Far Side. Yeah, Gary Larson.
Gary Larson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. I almost made a good pull.
Tony made a reference to a Far Side comic.
While you were at the Far Side concert?
No. Oh. But but he's that's a real unfortunate birthmark, Hal. Does that ring a bell?
No.
Bummer of a birthmark, Hal.
What? I used to read. I still have that image somewhere.
I don't know what the image goes to. But
type it in.
Oh, no. I probably donated those.
Far Side. Are you going to look it up?
Yes.
Far
Side. I'm going to look it up. But while I'm looking it up, I am going to do a thing just because why not? After these messages, we'll be right back. Bummer of a birthmark. I typed in bummer of a, and it was the thing that showed. Oh, it's a target on a deer.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, there it is. There it is.
As such, bummer of a birthmark out.
Yeah, there it is. That's great. That's funny.
God, that and comic it's funny, is like, so good.
I did. That was.
I had
was
all
great,
those compilations. When
those
I was
were
a kid.
Great. Yeah. Those were great. Those were fun. Those are one of those ones.
When the cows come home,
you used to pass them around. Like you know, you'd like sit around with each other and like pass books. Oh, yeah. Books
Dude,
around.
Look at this one. Look at this one.
Look. Yeah.
Look at this one.
Yeah.
Look at this one.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
That conversation that we just had was our commercial break.
Yes.
Back to the show. Because like, it's Sunday and I'm not editing
shit.
No edit on Sunday.
It's good times. But yeah, just to round things out, how is Good Place?
If you're not watching The Good Place with Kristen Bell, Ted Danson, Manny Jacinto, I can't remember some of the other actors' names. It's really good. Like,
I'm going to take your word for that.
It had a because
I mean I'm going to see it.
No, I'm never going to watch this show.
I'm never going
to
watch it.
No, and try to watch it
because in the first
I should
season,
finish my sentence. Let me finish and watch that show.
So I like
you
beer.
Watch the show okay. In the first season. You think like how far can they really go with this? Because like once like things are found out, it's like okay, that's going to be the end of the story, right? But they find like a really clever way to just keep it going and to make it work. And the comedy is. A lot of it's like really over the top and a lot of it's really, really subtle and they really know when to do what.
Which
like
one?
It's very well paced.
So do you like watch it and then like reflect on the writer's room and go, oh man, that's good stuff.
I do. Like, I think about like how jokes were made a lot when I watch sitcoms and this is, it's not really a sitcom per se, but I definitely think about like, was this joke like character driven or did they come up with a joke and then they made the character get to that place?
Right.
And I think about that. And
is
I think
joke,
with this show,
is the joke
like,
the line or is the joke? Yeah. Something
the
about,
situation.
Right.
Or, yeah. And with this show, it's a little bit of both most of the time.
And is it good enough to where you watch the episode the one time and you're like, you feel you got it all? Or is it like where you Parks and Rec or The Office where you're like, wait, now I need to watch it again and watch what's happening in the background? Or is it just pretty straightforward?
It's
like,
pretty straightforward. Yeah. It's pretty easy to digest. And which is not to say that it has no like rewatch value because a lot of the situations are just visually really hilarious. Because this show has a crazy budget. Like they have a lot of effects and most of them look like, you know, not fantastic because, you know, it's network. It's not
right.
It's network TV. It's not HBO. But it's believable in the sense that of where they, like, they're in the afterlife. So why would it look perfect, like perfectly real? Because it's supposed to be kind of surreal. So
I don't think I knew that that was the premise for at least the full first year.
Really?
Do you watch the show?
No.
Oh
no.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's about.
I didn't know that until I watched it. Like, I didn't, because I didn't read anything about it or see any like previews or anything like that about it. But when the first episode starts, it's like they literally start the show with "Hello, you're dead," and then the jokes start immediately. And it's just funny. It's really good.
Cool.
And it goes places that you don't, especially in season two, it goes places you don't really expect. Like, because you kind of think like, oh, this is like a pretty easy premise to follow and figure out. But then they just totally subvert your expectations and do things that are just not expected at all.
That makes me happy.
And Kristen Bell and Ted Danson kill it. Like, yeah. all the performances are great, but those two especially. Like, Ted Danson is in rare form in the show. He's awesome.
That's cool. Really
funny.
Well, that's what, like, it makes me happy to know it. I'm still getting used to having Hulu in the fact that I can watch things that are current.
Yeah.
But the problem is I didn't watch season one because it just passed me by. But I'm like, man, I'm going to go back and watch season one. And I think season one's on Netflix, and then season two is airing live on Hulu. So season, I can like catch up on
season
Hulu.
One and two are on Netflix now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're on season three.
Yeah, season three just aired.
Oh, snap.
Like,
you're watching season two right now?
We just finished season two. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So there's two seasons. Okay, good.
There's
enough.
Two seasons on Netflix for you to
bingeable.
Binge.
Yeah. Sweet. Enjoy. I dig that. Yay. And then you were watching something on Netflix as well, which was American Vandal.
American Vandal 2.
Now,
it's so good. Did you saw the first one?
No.
You didn't? Oh, my God.
No,
dude.
We talked about it and, like, the premise of it, where it was like very, very, very like serious about a total BS fake subject about them like graffitiing dicks on stuff.
Right.
And like, and then somebody shared.
I still haven't seen it either.
It was on Facebook, and like I was scrolling through like, you know, the bullcrap that's on Facebook, and it was like best prank ever or something. And it was like all these people pooping themselves.
Right.
And I was like, huh?
What?
And then I found out later that was marketing for American Vandal season two.
Right. Huh. And
I missed that boat. Wow.
So, okay. So you didn't see the first season either. So the first season,
go ahead. Like,
it's it's really funny and it's really well done. And it's apparently done by these young kids, but
the whole show.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, really? Like, or at least they probably have a team now. They probably sold their concept, but I'm pretty sure like the dudes who star in it.
Get off of there, dog.
Yeah.
And then they kind of do it kind of in the second season, kind of are meta about it, like that their film was so popular. The first thing they kind of like talk about the last one with the dicks in the car.
That's the last one. Yeah.
And so the whole thing is based on the dicks in the car. And it's all like, this almost like a CSI or Law and Order, where you go interview somebody and it's like, oh, it makes it look like they're guilty for sure. And then it takes you in another direction. Sure. And then you're like, you're guilty
it's
for
him.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then it just keeps doing that throughout the entire season. Then bringing in little extra little bits of information that they build a little story around. And it's really funny. And so the second one is all about the turd burglar. who is the turd burglar?
Turd
is the case
Ferguson?
Turd
Ferguson.
Turd's
funny name.
Funny name. Turd is funny.
Turd
name.
Burglar.
Turd burglar and Turd Ferguson. That's just funny. That's funny.
Well, and I heard you don't have to have watched season one to watch season two.
You don't.
Like, it's a very, oh,
that's cool.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
Well, and does the funniness of it rely on you thinking that poop jokes are funny? Like potty humor? Do you have to think that potty humor is funny? Or is the mockumentary aspect of it so good and the subject matter is ridiculous that if you're not a toilet humor type person, are you going to think it's funny?
I think that you will think it's funny. I think that it's smart enough.
The mockumentary
carries
it
through. It's presented enough, well enough, that the whole thing is like so silly and stupid. But presented in a it's good. It's really good. It's really entertaining and funny. And like, just like I was watching the first one where I'm just like, oh my God, I got to watch this next one now. Like, and then just giddy with how well they did it and how silly it is. It's silly.
Yeah.
It's dicks on cars.
You want more immediately. That's always a good sign.
Is there
Is there any social commentary to it, or are they just out to make funny mockumentaries? Like, is there like in the?
It's certainly nothing's heavy-handed, but there's plenty of little things in there. I'm sure that.
So the point of it, you think the point of it for the creators was we just want to make a funny documentary thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's all, because that to me is always better.
But no,
really cross the line of like, but this is a metaphor for this, and it's like you're making a poop joke. Like you can't tell me the poop joke is a deeper meaning than a poop joke.
Really, it's about like, classism,
right?
poop is funny. And you know, it's like they talk about that. They're like, and poop is funny, and they're like, poop is funny. They're like, poop is funny, and it's almost like they're like talking to themselves about it.
We can do this.
Yeah, poop is funny. People will like it. Poop is funny.
Yeah. Like poop.
But there are little like issues, I guess, that you could say. It's cool because it takes place in Bellevue, Washington, which is right outside Seattle, which I'm real familiar with.
Nice.
And a prep school. And so they have the black kid who's from Rainier Beach, who's like the one of the black neighborhoods.
The black kid?
In the movie,
like he's just the
one. He's
not
the only one, but he's like the one of the main people involved in it.
Black girl.
Yep.
He's fantastic. Like this actor who plays the basketball player. I know, dude.
What does he like to eat, BJ?
Okay, so he doesn't really play basketball, but I assume. I mean. Just kidding. He's the basketball star of the team.
Yeah.
But he's really good. But they talk. So some of the social stuff about him coming from another neighborhood is a little bit. It's just
sprinkled in.
But
the point of it isn't to be like, this is a complete satire of the criminal justice system and da 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 da.
No.
Woo. We're good.
Good save.
My thing, it just came unlatched and I wasn't prepared. Wasn't prepared. It's supposed to do that just not when you're not ready for it.
Yeah, you're like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, don't touch the pressure sensitive floor. So
good.
By the way. You look just like him. You look just like him. So
never mind the poo in
it
my
was
pants.
Dead on.
Poop's funny. So anyway, I highly recommend it.
Nice.
There seems like there's other stuff that I want to watch, but
see, there's all sorts of good stuff out there.
Yeah,
and
that's not depressing and national news but important stuff.
Well, and that's the other thing. Like we're one episode away from finishing Castle Rock, and it's finally like getting really kind of interesting, and I'm like curious and
grabbing you finally now.
Well, I just want to know how it's all going to wrap up. I don't know if I'm like super intrigued, but like I'm so far into it. I'm 9 episodes in. I'm like, I just need to know now.
Welcome
how
to my world.
Right.
It's no longer entertainment. It's like clinical to the point where it's like, I need this to be complete.
It is still entertaining. Like, don't get me wrong. And it's a really well made show. It's just not like as good as I hyped it up to be in my own head.
Right.
If that makes any sense. Where I'm like, sure. It's Stephen King and it's this and it's everything I want. And then I watch it and it's like, I'm selling it short by saying all the things that I'm saying about it, but it's good.
Yeah.
It's just not as everything that I hoped and dreamed.
It's disappointing.
So if you get a chance, though, maybe by next week, because it's only a 2-hour thing.
Oh, yeah.
Too big to fail. Or too funny to fail.
Yes.
Too funny to fail, because that's a fun. Do you have Hulu?
Yes.
I'll watch it on Tuesday. Too Funny to Fail, the story about the Dana Carvey show. And so as far as entertainment and our stuff goes, it's fascinating. And there's so many names and stuff in there that it'll be definitely worth watching.
And that's like the main show that we're watching is Castle Rock. But what I'm getting at is like all the bullcrap and like all the stress of everything that we're going through with like the move and then all the stupid crap about the news and all the, you know, horrific things that are happening on the news all the time. It's like when we don't want to start anything new, and we can only watch so many episodes of The Office. Like we're just putting on like dumb stuff that's entertaining. Like it used to be cooking show stuff, but I'm like, ooh, we have Hulu now, and guess what's on Hulu? A lot of HGTV shows. So I've been watching The Property Brothers like crazy.
Property Brothers, huh?
I love like home renovation shows. I love
renovation shows.
I dig them.
I love them. And, like, they are the perfect thing to just put on to not pay attention to at all.
I'm an underwater basket weaver. I'm a professional lizard catcher, and our budget is $4 million.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, you can just watch, like, you watch the very beginning, and you're like, oh, that's your crappy house, and you're trying to get, what now? Oh, okay. And then, like, you watch the renovation, and then you watch the new, and you're like, oh, okay. It's just, all you have to pay attention to, really, is the very beginning, and then the very end, and you're satisfied. Yeah. Yep. And it just, it fills the time. So we've been watching a lot of that kind of stuff, and
that's what I love about it. That's cool. And I wish it was, maybe it is streaming somewhere, but like I used to always put on Man vs. Food whenever I just wanted to like feel good about the world.
Same thing.
People are just sharing good food. Like, this is great.
And it's just a fun thing.
You can just check in and check out and see beautiful looking food and like, no, I'm hungry.
Oh, okay. God. You know, it's funny because for some reason when I think of Man vs. Food, I think of some kind of eating challenge.
That's what it is.
It's like him, and he is like, we have a 5-pound pizza. Can you eat it by yourself?
He would go to places where they have those food challenges. I always thought it was a brilliant premise because so many restaurants have like, if you could finish the blah, 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 then you don't have to pay for it.
What's the one at Shakespeare's? The White Whale? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Where it's 2 pounds of fish and chips?
Good Lord.
I think I can try it. That's what I think, too.
Where it's like fish and chips? I could eat 1 million fish and chips.
The fries, that's the problem.
But then when it gets in front of you, you're eating all those fries.
It's the fries and the massive amounts of peas. God. You're like, fries and peas. It's like, I can chow on the fish easy. But
the peas?
But when you're trying to eat 1 pound of french fries, woof. Yeah.
And peas are not my vegetable.
You don't like peas?
You don't like peas?
No.
Wrong.
Oh, I like so many vegetables.
You don't like peas?
No, but I'm not a pea person.
At all? Like, I not even peas. Like fresh frozen peas in or casserole. Fresh frozen.
Mix them in other stuff. I don't mind it at all. But like by themselves, I've never been a big fan.
Because my theory on peas is people don't like them because when they were kids, they were forced to eat canned peas. Now, as an adult, I have an appreciation for canned peas. There's a time and place for a can of peas. But like fresh peas or like frozen peas when they're still green and they still pop when you bite into them and like nom, nom, nom.
Snow peas.
I love peas.
Or pea pods. I mean, like I'm all about.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
like just regular peas.
The regular peas, little green peas, you know, that just come by themselves.
Split pea soup.
Well, there was
I do like split pea soup.
There was a plague of vegetable preparation when we were all growing up where they would just throw it into boiling water and say, here you go.
Yeah.
Spices supposed to be green and it's actually kind of brown.
I used to hate broccoli, you know, because it always tasted so good. I love broccoli now. Right? I love it so much.
You can so overcook it, though. As soon as it's overcooked and it's mushy, you're like, school. No.
No. Yeah. It gets a little bit crunchy.
Yeah. It gets like this, like,
and mushy.
Yeah.
I think that's my problem with eggplant, too. I don't really if people are like, what don't you like? Olives, green olives, and eggplant are like the two things that I know that I'm like, nope.
Eggplant's good.
Eggplant is good.
We make vegetable tacos with portobello mushrooms and eggplant sometimes.
That sounds bomb.
Like, that's the thing. I'm sure I've just had it when it's like overcooked to hell because it's just a big snot ball of gross to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first avocado I tasted had that like too old smell and taste. You know, and I was like, this is nasty for a little while. And then like, later on I had a fresh avocado.
I had a bad guacamole experience in high school, which ruined guac for me for a while.
Oh, yeah. Are you back on it now?
Oh,
big time.
Please.
You guys want? But because don't play.
I can make some.
Do you have some guac?
I can make some good guac.
It costs extra, and I don't care.
I'm having guacamole right now, and I'm loving it.
I have an avocado at home I'm excited about.
Oh, man. Good times.
Yeah.
I want food.
We turned that one around. Yeah. We made it
I'm
positive.
Sorry I was eating a quesadilla when you guys walked in.
No, it's all good. I'm going to stop and get a burrito.
I got to pick up the wife later tonight.
We have exactly enough time to get to the burrito place I want to go to.
There you go.
In that case, let's wrap this thing up.
Yeah.
Thanks out there for listening, liking, subscribing. And we say it all the time and everything, but if you have something to say, please reach out. You can.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You didn't think our patrons.
Oh, snap. Yeah, Tony's going to be pissed at me. It's 1 hour and 30 minutes in. And he's like, you didn't say what you want to hear.
We've said his name like 4 times.
I know. We say it every time. Yeah. Every time. But yes, for real, thanks to the patrons out there. Patreon.com/Life's a Binge. And big shout out to Tony, Dave, Mike, and Jess, and Kathy. And you guys are all awesome. Awesome possums. And not BJ.
Not me.
Not me. Not yet. I'm going to. There's no excuses. I just need to do it. I'll do it. I'll do it.
But if you have an opinion on something that we talk about, it doesn't have to be TV or whatever. I mean, that's what we're, you know, centered on or whatever. But this is a big thing. If you have something to say, you know, and you want an outlet to say it, hit us up. Yep. Send us an email or shoot us a message on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. Tweet at us or call the voicemail and just, you know, rant and rave for a couple minutes at 619-438-0532. Any of those things will work. But for now, let's get out of here. This has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And I'm Rich.
And we'll see you on the couch. Life's a binge. Bow, 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 bow,
bow, bow, bow, bow, bow. Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right.
We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! Fucking thing sucks!